Welcome to the Down and Dirty Podcast, the ultimate guide to modern midlife dating. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and I'm here to help you navigate the challenges of today's dating world. Think of me as your female version of Hitch, but better. With over 16 years of experience as a certified image consultant and dating coach, I've got the inside scoop on what women want. In this podcast, we're diving deep into the world of healthy masculinity and modern dating. It's a fast-changing industry, and here you'll find personal stories, expert insights, and candid conversations that will empower you to take control of your dating life. There's never been a better time to achieve your desired outcome, whether it's marriage, finding a significant other, securing a life partner, or simply regaining your dating confidence. We're here with you twice a week to explore the viewpoints and challenges in today's dating arena that resonate with every man seeking dating success and love. So let's dive into today's episode. We've got an exciting discussion lined up for you. Get ready for the double D's of dating, where dating dilemmas turn into dating triumphs. Welcome everybody to another episode of the Down and Nerdy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Celeste Moore. I'm super excited to introduce to you everybody listening here today, my guest on the show today. But before we dive into the episode, let me introduce you to him. His name is Garen Flowers, and he is a Yahoo Entertainment reporter and on-camera host for Smart Theaters, whom conducts celebrity interviews in advance of movie premieres. He is a USC professor, he's a stand-up comedian, and has lead in a Netflix movie. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Garen. I really appreciate you taking the time and talking about all this juicy bits of your life, your experiences, and dating.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Ready to get down and dirty.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. So wait, okay, let me clarify something. You say you've played in a Netflix movie. I thought it was, or maybe this is in addition, you were on The Bachelorette, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's separate. That's separate. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is separate. Why isn't it in here?
I mean, it's not like a work credential, so that's why I didn't, you know, add it on there, but I knew we would talk about it, so.
Okay. And What's the name of the movie you were in?
The movie is called The Clone Tyrone. It's a sci-fi thriller. It came out last July on Netflix, and I play a TV reporter, so it's very fitting. I might as well have played myself.
I love it. So that's, yeah, I thought like he's either leaving it out because I know it's not a movie.
Yeah.
And so was this in 2020, right?
The Bachelorette was 2020, yes.
Okay. So how does one get into become eligible person on The Bachelorette, eligible bachelor on The Bachelorette?
How does a guy get cast on the show pretty much?
Yeah. Like how did that happen for you?
Okay. I'll explain how it happened for me and, you know, give advice on any guys that might be interested in doing so. So for me, I basically kept it real and poured my heart out to production, and they felt my story and wanted to, you know, cast me on the show. So basically, I had this crazy situation during the pandemic where I got into this relationship with a woman I met online on TikTok. And the crazy thing about it was that every other woman I've dated, relationship I've had, was someone I met in person and dated for like 6 months, and was always like at the edge of a woman saying like, are we gonna do this or not, you know? And I was like, yes, let's be in a relationship. So for me to jump into this relationship with someone in like 2 weeks for someone I met online, it was crazy. It just was unlike me, but she was just like hitting all the buttons, and you know, we were just connecting so well, and we had so much time to talk because it was the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to, you know, she was like, we talk so much, why don't we just, you know, make it official? And I said, why not, you know? And then the next thing you know, she was like, I love you. And then I was like thrown off. And then I was like, wait, I love you too. So it was great. And then out of nowhere, she was like, yeah, well, actually, this is what I do. I kind of just like rush into things with men and I don't really feel it. Like. And it was very hurtful, very painful, because I didn't know how someone could act like that. How could you treat someone in this way as if you're falling for them, but then have the nerve to say like, oh, this is what I do. You know, that was my first experience with dealing with someone with trauma and someone who had been, you know, abused by a parent and then by her ex-husband, who was still dealing with that trauma and didn't know how to have healthy relationships. And so after that ended, I was looking at an ABC show, and during the commercials, they kept advertising The Bachelorette, and I decided to apply. And I told them that whole story, and I thought they were going to think I was crazy, but instead they loved it, you know, which made sense because the show was about falling in love in 6 weeks and proposing. So when it makes sense that like they liked me as opposed to thinking I was crazy. So that's how I got on. You know, any advice I have for a guy that would want to go on now is just to be genuine, be authentic, like tell your genuine story. Who are you? What are the relationships you've had? Why are you applying? Or why is someone nominating you? You know what I mean? And just be authentic to who you are.
Yeah, I love that you talk about authenticity, because it's such an important part in the dating world, the dating scene, whether you're trying to get on The Bachelorette or not, or become a bachelor. I think that a lot of people try to mold into what they feel that person might want from them. And then at some point it just blows up, right? Because obviously you're not being true to who you are. What was that journey like for you on the show?
It was intense, because I went from being pretty private about my dating life to now dating on a national stage. People looking at my dates, looking at me date someone on TV. So it was a bit unreal for me. And it was a great experience, though, because it opened me up and allowed me to become a better person, right? Like, I'm now sharing my story on a big platform. So I need to be open. I need to be vulnerable. And so it helped me become a more vulnerable person. And then it also helped me become more romantic, right? Like, you know, they're doing the most romantic things and planning the most romantic dates while you're on the show. So it really leveled up my personality as a man and how to treat a woman. I'm like, you know, I'm doing all these things for this woman I just met. Why am I not doing nice things for a woman and outside of this show that I've been on 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 dates with? You know, so it really helped me level up big time.
I love that showed you that, because I mean, it doesn't have to take a show, clearly, to level up your dating game, right? To really show the person that you love or you care about and treat them well and like really treat them special. But I think that it's something that we can all learn from, because, you know, in a relationship, everybody kind of goes through the motions of life and you forget about how important it is to date each other. Newly started, in the middle, and forget about the people that have been married forever. Also, it's so important to not let that go. And you can take an example here, watch The Bachelorette and see all these amazing dates that these men like yourself, who just met a stranger and are what, going on helicopters. And, you know, I don't know what the dates were for you, but I've seen some of the shows before. But they've had to be like quite extravagant, like you said. Can you give an example of one of the dates?
That on the show, or that I've that
yeah,
how
but
I've
you did. Yeah,
that maybe I've seen the show.
Yes.
Yeah. So let me think. So I'll give a couple examples of things I did that I was really proud of, where I was like, wow, that was unique, you know? And actually I started to get to the point where I was so romantic, I was like, I needed to scale it back a little bit, because I was like, I want there to be that mindset of like a woman working for it a little bit too. Don't just give. Like, there needs to be a little bit of give and take from the other side as well. But there was a woman I started dating long distance after I was on the show, and I visited her twice actually before she visited me. But when she visited me, I turned my apartment, this one right here, into like a spa almost. Like, I had like, you know, a towel, and it was like full. I learned how to fold it on YouTube, like a spa would. And I had like her favorite candy, and I had like a note that said, welcome to, you know, your trip. You know, we've set up the place to make you as comfortable as possible, you know, let management know if you need anything. And it was like, I was like, dang, that was a really cool idea. I just randomly just thought about it. I was like, how can I make her feel as comfortable as possible? And she loved it. As soon as she walked in, she was like, oh my God. So that was a really cool thing where I was like, that was like romantic and nice and like a small thing. It took me, you know, 20 minutes to pick up the candy and to learn how to fold the towels, you know?
Yeah, that's such a cool idea.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. And then there was another girl I dated more recently, last year actually, where we had met in person. I approached her in person. Mm-hmm. And we ended up hanging out all night, which was really cool. We just hit it off right away. And we made this joke, like, I was applying to be like her cuddle buddy since it was like December and it's starting to get cold. And so on our first date, I brought her like a cover letter, like, you know, why I was applying for the job of being her cuddle buddy. And like, she was just like completely thrown off and surprised by that. And the date was, I planned something in her area. So we went to like a sushi restaurant because she said she liked sushi. And so I listened to her, what she said she liked. And then I planned to go to a sushi restaurant that was near a live music venue. So then we walked from the sushi restaurant to a live music venue. It was walking distance, so we didn't have to get back in my car. And the second part of the date was amazing. So I did all these like simple, small things that, you know, she really appreciated.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I think that says so much about you. You even said to yourself that you listen, you're actively listening. And that's so important. I mean, on both sides, but like, guys, when you can do this, this is invaluable to your dates, to the people that you're interested in, because it shows, like you said, you did a few little things that were probably huge for her, right? The return was like massive. And I think a lot of people just kind of go through the motions sometimes, but you're like attentively listening. And that's such a like important masculine energy, guys. Okay. Let the women step into their feminine and just like, let it be. This is such a beautiful, you've got to have the masculine and feminine to dance in a successful relationship. And this was such a beautiful way of telling everybody here how that's possible. Just a few easy things, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I hear a lot of stories. I have a lot of friends that are women and they tell me these stories about guys not planning dates or guys planning dates that are convenient for the guy, right? Like you live 20 minutes apart and the guy plans a date that's in their neighborhood or, you know, different things like that. And, you know, I get it. If you're a guy, you can do whatever it is you want to do, but it just makes such a big difference if you plan the date, if you do something at least halfway, at the bare minimum halfway or in the woman's neighborhood. And, you know, every now and then I'll meet a woman that's like, oh, we'll do something in your neighborhood. I don't care. But for the most part, I usually plan something in their neighborhood or halfway at the very least.
God, you sound like one of my podcasts that I put on just to tell men like how to successfully date. This is what you do, guys. Listen to Garen.
You know, I've learned a lot the past few years being on The Bachelorette and just having guy friends that help level me up. So as much as I'd love to take credit for it, I've just paid attention. I just pay attention. Yeah. I listen and I learn.
Well, I think that's kind of goes back to probably what you do for a living, right? You have to pay attention. You have to really focus. And I'm sure that helps. But when you talk about leveling up, like from your guy friends, like what does that mean when you're talking about you've leveled up? Is it leveled up as a man, leveled up in the dating arena, or both?
Yeah, a little bit of both. A little bit of both. I think as a man, and it could be the same for women, but I think you level up by leveling yourself up as a person, you know, as a man. Like if I'm working out in the gym, if I'm getting money, you know, working on ways to make more money, working on my body in the gym, learning new skills, that's helping with dating. For instance, you know, I feel better when I'm working out and when I'm more fit. I recently started taking salsa lessons, started last year, like around February. I feel so good going to salsa clubs or, you know, I'll be at a wedding. Like I went to a wedding in October of 2022, a wedding in Mexico. And it was embarrassing because I didn't know how to salsa dance. I was like, damn, like if I knew how to, I'd be like mingling with all these attractive women. You know what I mean? And so I was like, never again. So then that next February, which was last year, I started taking lessons and now I can go places and dance. And women are like, oh, you know, and it's good enough to where even a woman of Latin descent who has been dancing her whole life, even them are surprised. They're like, here's this guy who's not Latin and knows how to get on the dance floor. So I think leveling up yourself as a man is leveling yourself up in the dating world.
1,000%. I mean, you're just an example of what a high value man is, right? It's constantly in self-growth mindset. It's, you know, how can you do more in life? How can you feel better? How can you be better? How can you show up better? And that starts with yourself first and foremost. And I love that you picked up a hobby that you felt would, like, you know, you'd be more attractive to at a wedding, or just it's a great icebreaker too.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Any man that moves their hips well, you know what a woman's thinking, right?
Well, you tell me.
That he's good in bed, baby.
Oh, nice. Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know.
Yep. He can move his hips. He can do other things.
Exactly. I forgot to mention the aspect of my friends. So I do have some, like, very manly friends, who guys who are confident in planning dates, guys who are confident in leading the charge with women, guys who, if a woman doesn't fit their frame, they're okay to walk away, and in a nice way, not be rude about it, walk away and not just do whatever because this woman is attractive, or, you know, is their type. They're willing to walk away if she doesn't fit, you know, what he's looking for. So it's nice to have those guys to turn to.
Yeah, that's really powerful. No matter if you're a man or a woman in the dating scene, you've got to get clear and strategic before you start dating. If you want to date successfully, if you're looking for a partner or partners, I mean, whatever your shtick is, like, whatever you want to do. But, like, just imagine going into the world with, you know, no goals or no plan. I mean, you see what sticks, it's not really going to be a successful outcome for you. You're just going to be like, okay, we'll figure this out. If it happens, it happens. But if you really want to get serious about having someone in your life that works for you, then these are the steps you take. And one of those is having clear cut boundaries, right? This is going to work for me. This is not. And even though she's really hot and, like, okay, like, this is typically my type, I can step away and know that I'm just making room for the person that's really supposed to be with me.
Yeah, it's powerful. It's powerful. As a guy, you're saying, like, you know, to an attractive woman or woman that's your type, that's the next level.
Yeah, because I imagine, like, everybody wants to have, you know, some hotness in their life, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So how have you taken these key components to successfully date? Like, what have you learned or implemented recently or in the last, since, let's just use The Bachelorette for frame of reference? What do you feel that you can talk about? What are some key components to successful dating?
Yeah, that's a good question. For myself, or speaking from a vantage point of...
We can talk about for you first. And then if you feel like you want to be like, yo, guys, you've got to do this because this is what it takes, you know?
Yeah. So for me, you know, I'm still single, so I'm not where I want to be dating wise as far as a relationship. And so some of the things that I've learned that I'm now utilizing are, one, removing sex and things below the belt for the first month. I hired a dating coach in October of 2022. And she was great because, you know, at that point, I felt like I'm a good guy for the most part. Like, that's the most important thing to me, is being a good person. But then also, I do feel like I'm a quality person and I have a lot to bring to the table. So I was like, you know, why isn't it working out for me? So I hired this dating coach and she taught me a lot. You know, she taught me a lot about building genuine, authentic relationships. And she says 2 months of no below the belt action when getting to know someone, which is kind of a lot. So I at least go a month. And then after that, I try to go as long as I can after a month, you know.
You reevaluate.
But after a month is already so much more powerful for me. Mm-hmm. I just know that I am not just going to have a superficial, you know, fling with this person, because that can happen with us guys. And the same can happen with women. If you have a fling a little too early, it can be a turnoff with proceeding long term. And so that's one thing I've instituted. I also have created this love list, you know, things I've written down that embody the type of person I want to be with, embody the type of relationship I want to have. And I reference that list when I'm dating someone who I could see myself being in a relationship with. I'll kind of look at the box that this person checks off these boxes or whatever. It kind of gives me a reference, like, okay, I feel good with this person. Like, let me double check and make sure that these things are being checked if I'm a little cautious or trying to figure out what the next move is with us. So that's another thing, is the love list, nothing below the belt before a month, and and just being romantic, being smooth, listening. You know, I feel like, you know, it's in LA, it's easy to, I live in LA, I don't ever mention that. It's easy to date. So I'm trying to, when I meet someone who I'm really into, to kind of scale back the amount of dating I'm doing with other women and try to focus on listening and hearing her out to give that a chance. Like, okay, let me give this opportunity a chance to see if it's going to work.
Yeah. So curious. I love that you shared those tools, because I think all of those really play a part in this, you know, your strategic dating plan of finding your perfect person or your ideal person, I should say. None of us are perfect, but
exactly.
So the list thing, I'm a little bit curious, because lists can be really damaging or they can play a powerful in the dating arena. So on your list, I'm just going to ask a couple things. Do you have very specific, like, what she looks like, or is that not so much on your list?
So that is on my list, which my dating coach told me to do, because I felt a little shallow putting that on there, because I wanted to more so focus on just the internal. But my dating coach was like, no, put on there what she, you know, traits you like, what she looks like, you know, which I ended up being fine with, because I've dated, being from South Florida, I grew up around all kinds of women and I'm attracted to all kinds of women. So, you know, there's a lot of traits that I like in a woman physically.
I only ask that because I do feel sometimes that limits you, or as a person in the dating, you know, I'm also like, do I put that I want in this top? I mean, that's silly, right? He could, what if he's 2 inches shorter? And then I'm like, well, you're not 6 foot, so bye. You know, I mean, I feel like, I mean, obviously you have to be attracted to the person physically. I get that 100%. But I feel like sometimes when the lists are so detailed, then you miss out on a lot. And I guess what I'm telling all the guys and women here today is your life values, your beliefs, your life goals, these are all like really big components of a successful relationship. Also the attraction. But, you know, if she doesn't have blue eyes and she's got green eyes, like, give her a minute. All I'm saying is don't like tunnel vision your list to the point that you're missing out on opportunities. So I just asked that because I think it's really important, because I had another show earlier and it was a female and she was talking about her list. It's like, wow, all these lists, right? But she didn't have one item on there that was a physical trait. And that was kind of surprising to me. If she goes, it's never been an issue for me. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, there's sapiosexuals, there's all sorts of different type of categories that were what we're attracted to. But I do like those tools and I thank you for sharing them. I feel like the clearer you are, and even the places that you meet your person, right? Like setting yourself up to meet her in the places that are going to bring you, I'm sure you want a high value woman. You want someone that's got similar goals and ambitions. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, what you just said is powerful. I think that we all need to be open. We all need to be just clear on the fact that what's inside is what's most important. And the reason I ended up being okay with writing down the physical looks is because, one, I know that I'm a very open person. I could date a woman of different ethnicity, different colors, different shapes, sizes, all those things. I think what bothers men a lot with women's lists is like, it's like a hard stop, right? It's like a height. Like you literally have no control over that, right? But if a woman was like, she wants a guy more fit, or a guy who dresses nice, then it's like, I can control, you know? Mm. But I think that's what, at least the men around me, is like, will mention things that a woman can't control, right? For the most part. For the guys, the height thing is super frustrating. But the reason I was okay with writing down the looks is because I think we all sort of have a type or something that really does it for us. And I think writing it on paper sort of released it for me. Like, okay, I put it down there. That doesn't mean the person needs to look like that, but it's like, I'm not going to lie to myself about what really does it for me. But there's been so many times, Celeste, where I met a woman and the more she talked, the more I was just like, oh my God, I'm attracted to this woman. You know what I mean? And really let her words and her mannerisms and her personality draw me in than what she looked like on the surface.
Yeah. I love that. When that happens, that's usually a good thought. Like, okay.
Yeah, you can already think someone's cute, but then they just start talking and you're just like, oh, wow. Like, I'm really into this person.
Yeah. When you're feeling their energy, right? I think that's huge. Yeah, for sure. Or it can be the opposite, right? You think someone's really hot across the room and then they open their mouth and you're like, whoa, okay.
Whoa, what was that? And sometimes it's right away. Like, nope. Nope.
Yep. Can we just not open your mouth? That's bad too.
Yeah. I know this is terrible, but you know, I'll watch The Bachelor now. I watch every episode of any Bachelor Nation show and I haven't been on it. But you see the photos of the contestants before the show airs, and then I'll have my favorite women, and then they'll see them. I'll see them on screen and they'll talk and I'll be like, scratch off my lip. That's what you mean.
We all do it. Don't worry. I mean, you know, married, single, whatever. We all do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it's really important to, that's really cool too. I have to really touch the point that, you know, for a month below the belt, like nothing's happening. And like, you know, getting to know someone, you can be intimate in so many ways without physical. I mean, have a good makeout session. Make sure they can kiss. Okay. But anything else is like, yeah, get to know them on different intimate level, emotionally, spiritually. I mean, there's so many different ways where you can connect intellectually and see if that's something you want to further pursue. But I love that. I love that little rule for yourself or a tool that you use to really understand if you like, you want to get to know this person. Is she doing it for me? Like beyond just, you know, his brain below. So
yeah.
His reaction.
So ever since I've instituted that rule, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. I've heard from some women that if a guy isn't trying to get in your pants, for women, sometimes it's confusing because they're like, does he really like me? Is he attracted to me? You know? And so what are your thoughts on that when a guy is not trying?
So unfortunately, it's been normalized for guys to really like attack you on the first date, second date, third date, if they're into you.
Exactly.
Right. Been very normalized, and it shouldn't be. But if you're like, there's other ways to show that you're physically attracted. There's the friend zone, and then there's the attraction zone. If you become her therapist, if you become her everything, that's not a good idea. You're going to get friend zone right away. So I think it's important to still show some physical attraction. You know, you can touch, you can kiss. If there's passion, if you are really looking into each other's eyes and digging deep into conversations, clearly there's an attraction. And I think that you can just tell her, look, at some point, I mean, please not on the first date, but you know, a couple dates in, you're like, I just want to get to know you more without the cloud of sexuality. And I want to see if I want to pursue this more. And usually if I take a month to decide, then I mean, I think if you sharing that to her, she'll really respect you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think. And I think it's important to be natural with whoever you're dating, but mm-hmm. I do think there's little small things you can do that help build stronger connection, build a little bit of mystery. And so my example of that is when you're dating a woman, if you do want to take your time with it, first of all, like you said, you don't have that conversation night one for sure on the first date or the second date. But I think you wait till you get to a point to where y'all can get physical and don't. And you let there be a little confusion and mystery. You let there be a little bit, what's going on? Like, huh? Like, you know, I like that because it's like you kind of build a little bit of internal chase between each other, but it's like a healthy one. It's like a safe one, you know, like we're still fighting for each other, even though we're spending time with each other and getting to know each other. And then I think once you have that moment, then you can have that conversation like, hey, by the way, you know, I typically might be physical with someone at this point, but I really want to get to know you on a deeper level because I know how I can be if I'm physical too early. Just be honest about it.
Well, one, she's going to respect you more. You're going to respect yourself more. And I'll never forget, like, obviously on my website, I say I'm the female version of Hitch, but better. because for sure. This is my all-time favorite movie. Okay, one of them anyway. And I love the scene. I'll never forget it when he's in the bar with Eva Longoria, or Eva, excuse me, I'm not sure how to say it properly. And, you know, Chip is trying to hit on Eva Longoria. I forget her name.
I believe it's Mendez.
Yes. Eva
Mendez. Yeah.
Oh, it's Mendez. Oh my God. Only everyone knows what's going on today.
You're close. You're
Friday the right brain. Oh my God. And I'm envisioning this moment. And, you know, Will Smith, he goes over and he saves her. He's like, he brings her the right drink because he's paying attention. And basically is like, you know, gets in a way to get in it. But she's expecting him to give her the line, like the pickup line that every woman like, oh, can I, you know, some cheesy line, how to get her number. And he doesn't. And he just says, you know, he has this banter back and forth, like, you're expecting me to do this, but I'm not going to do this. And he's leaving this air mystery. And when he's like, you know what, enjoy your drink, have a wonderful night. You know, that's the basis of it. And she, like, her mouth basically drops open and she's like, what? He didn't ask me out. He didn't give me his number. He, like, what the hell? And I think in that moment, as women, we're expected to just the same thing happen. Right. So we don't really take it seriously. But if there's a little bit of mystery, then we want to get to know you. We want, there's this excitement, like, what? He just flipped the script on me, you know? And I'll never forget that. I think that obviously you don't have to do it in that sense, but there's ways, and something that you're implementing is giving a little bit of mystery, like, oh, he likes me. He's attracted to me, but he doesn't want to have sex with me, right? Like, okay, what's up with that? Let me like marinate that for a second, like figure out what is going on.
So, Leave a little bit of mystery. You know, I'm a firm believer that as a guy, You have to build a little bit of mystery so that the woman feels like she's trying to get you too. Because, like, as men, we're the hunters, right? Or supposed to be. Women can shoot their shot. And I'm a huge advocate of women shooting their shot. Huge advocate of it. And it's not a turnoff, ladies. It's not a turnoff. To me, it's not. And to my guy friends, it's not. But, you know, you're pursuing the woman. You don't want to have that positioning where you're always trying to pursue her, you're always trying to get her attention or whatever. You've got to let her know that you have value in yourself, that you believe in yourself. And so, you know, creating that mystery is a way of letting her do a little bit of pursuing as well, where you're like, she's like, why didn't he try to sleep with me? Huh, let's figure this out, you know? And then you can lay it on her like, I do want to take my time with it.
Yeah. Well, you just say something that I'm really curious about. You and your friend both want to be pursued. In what would you say, like, if I saw you across the room and I approached you versus you approaching me, mm-hmm. Yes, you think that's a turn on to you?
So, yeah. So I was saying I'm an advocate of women shooting their shot as well, because mm-hmm. There's a few reasons why I think a woman should be open to shooting her shot, or at least give very clear signals I'm open at the very least. But one, a lot of times a guy might just be focused on what's going on in front of him and with his friends. Like, not all guys are their eyes are wandering. Not all guys are eye wanderers. Some guys are just like, I'm here with my boys, whatever. That's number one. Number two, he might be nervous to talk to you. A lot of men are nervous to approach a woman. It's shy. It's not easy. It's tough. Even as a guy like myself who does approach women, every situation is different. Every situation is tough, you know? That's number two. Number three, you know, he might not have noticed you, literally might physically not have noticed you. And so I think a woman pursuing or letting a guy know, hey, I'm interested in you, or I think, you know, I want to talk to you, I think it's completely fine. And then as the woman, once you do that, you can put the ball in his court after that.
Mm. Okay.
And so to answer your question about, do we want to be pursued? Not necessarily. I like doing the pursuing, but it's not a deal breaker if a woman pursues me. I'm not going to say, oh, you're a great catch. I'm not going to date you because you walked up to me.
Yeah, I think there's just, like you said, I think the initial letting him know that you're attracted to him is okay. But I think a man should be the majority of the pursuer, only due to the fact that you can really switch the roles really fast. Mm-hmm. And then she feels like the pressure of carrying that weight. So I feel like it's okay in the beginning, like, oh yeah, hi, you know, what's up? Yeah. Or however that happens. But yeah, I think you just want to make sure that the roles flip, and then she's in her masculine, and then he's like, but I'm trying to be in my masculine, and then that's not going to work.
Yeah. Eventually, as the guy, you have to kind of take control and take over if you're interested.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, clearly, if you want to take the lead a little bit. So, so I want to talk a little bit about ghosting. Now, what the fuck, man? Okay, I have to say it. Like, we are all grown-ass adults, and why are people still ghosting?
It's trash, to be honest with you. It's trash. Like, I think ghosting is one of the worst forms of just, like, what does someone call it? I heard of something called the other day. It's just, like, it's just such, like, emotional immaturity and... Mm. It's like the worst form of, like, not trauma. I'm looking for a word that's not as deep as that, but like it parts trauma on someone because they're confused, they're sad, they're angry, they're like wondering, what did I do wrong? Like ghosting causes so many issues. And, you know, Look, like as someone who has been on a bunch of first dates, like, you know, not following up with someone who you went on one date with, you know, it, like, you don't have to break up with every single person you've gone on a date with. But if you build a flow with someone, like you're texting or y'all are hanging out or whatever it may be, I think you should have a conversation with them and not just ghost them. You know what I'm saying? It's terrible. Like, it's just a horrible thing. And it's not a great feeling. I've been on both ends of it, you know, to be honest. And like the times where I have done it, I felt crappy about it. And I have followed up with women before, like, hey, look, you know, I apologize. I had this going on, blah, blah, blah. And I've made it a mission to like have conversations with women as hard as it is when I'm not feeling it. Because I think it's a terrible thing. I felt it, and I think it's horrible.
Yeah, it really is. It's human decency to let someone know where you stand. All it is, it's like, they are going to appreciate it much more than you just completely leaving the situation. And like you said, if you're in a flow with someone, you're texting them back and forth, you plan to meet, and then cricket. And it's like, yo, you can just talk to me. You can just tell me, like, I'm not feeling it. I met someone else. Care, but the fact that you just leave people, and it's so common, it's terrible. It really is a shitty feeling. So, like, just follow through. And they can be hard conversations, but at the end of the day, that other person is going to be okay. If they want to be pissed, they want to be pissed. You can't control other people's feelings and other people's reactions, but at least you know you're like a good human. And you're like, okay, this is not working for me because whatever.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And you know, I do think there's things that someone can do to turn someone off. Like if you're blowing their phone up, if you're going hard too soon and someone falls off, there's a reason why they fell off, right? There's like a clear reason if you were just like blowing someone up with a million text messages and sending them unsolicited photos and all kind of stuff. But for the most part, if you have a good flow with someone, and this is more so after you've gone out, if you've gone out, you have a good flow with them, y'all are still talking even after you've gone out. Just to not talk to that person, I think is just terrible. I think it's terrible.
Yeah, agreed. Totally agreed. So everybody listening, do not ghost.
Try not to. And, you know, look at yourself and look at how you would feel if you were on the other end.
Yeah.
That's how I try to do it. When I'm like in a situation where I don't want to date someone anymore, I'm like, how would I want someone to treat me? Because I've been treated like dog shit. And it's like, you know, I would not want someone to feel the way someone else made me feel.
Yeah. That is, it's powerful. So one recognition and literally stopping for a minute and saying that this isn't working. You don't even have to like go into a whole thing, right? You can just say, look, it's great to meet you. Good luck. It's not for me anymore. Doesn't have to be crazy. You talk about a lot of first dates and you're like a master first dater.
My friends call me serial dater, to be honest with you. I am.
What is going on? No.
Listen, you know,
The LA scene?
I do think so. Before moving here, I was always dating someone long term. It was always like more connection, you know?
Yeah.
And since being in LA, it's been like a lot of dates, a lot of fun times, not as much genuine connection. So, you know, I've been working on it. You know, that's why I hired a dating coach a while back. That's why I'm always like checking myself and trying to figure out, like doing like a referendum on my dating life. Okay, how have things been going the past 6 months or the past year? So I'm always looking inwards and seeing how I can get better and do better. You know what I mean? And but yeah, I tell myself that I'm trying. I try and I put myself out there and I've had some great first dates, you know? And so yeah. I'm just gonna keep doing me and keep going until the right thing hits.
On a real side note, when I used to live in LA, it was really hard connecting at a deeper level. I found, I also lived in Las Vegas.
So you know where I'm coming from.
LA and Vegas to me were very similar in the fact that people, in my opinion, I do have some great friends there, were really one layer to me. It was like a very superficial layer. And to get any deeper was like, they didn't even know what that means. They didn't even know how to connect into who they are. And so it was a struggle too for me, for sure. So I understand. It's a very different arena. And it's because it's very popular. And obviously it's an entertainment capital, right? So everything is about how do I look on the outside? How am I coming across? And that's like, it's ingrained in them so much that it's so hard sometimes to actually have deep connections there. Mm-hmm. So I'm not throwing out all people in LA or Vegas, but it's a lot.
It's challenging. That's what I like to say, because a lot of people say, oh, LA dating is trash and it's garbage and this, that, and the other. And I think when you put those words out there, it really manifests it for you. You have to be careful what you say, unless you want it to be true, right? If you want it to be true, it's always going to be that way. You're going to go into first dates thinking, this is trash. This is going to be trash. You know, this person's going to treat me like X, Y, and Z. So I've tried my best to train my mind to think it's more of a challenge. And, you know, I've had, you know, great dates with women that I wanted to, you know, didn't see it moving forward. So I just see it as a challenge. And, you know, I know friends here who have gotten into relationships with women they've met in LA. So I'm definitely optimistic. And it is super challenging though. You know, I lived in other cities where it was not as difficult to build connection, but it's challenging. And I think it's good in a way where it's like, when you're in a relationship, you're going to find like the ultimate match because you've been through it.
You put the work in.
Right. So it's going to be good.
It is mentality too. And yes, like I said, I'm not throwing everybody over their bus, but knowing that, like, you know, it's okay to get deep. It's okay to get vulnerable. It's how you're going to connect with people. So, like, I've learned so much just from this show right here and having guests on. It's like my PhD. I've been able to learn so much about myself, and so much healing has come. And it's just like, it's truly amazing. This platform has been huge for me so far and continues to. So, yeah, I'm super grateful. Yeah, it's just been great. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So first date. What are some really great first date?
Okay. Great first date ideas.
Yes.
I'm learning more to plan a date based on conversations I have. So I try to have a conversation enough with a woman to where the first date can be unique to us. But also don't stress yourself out, because there have been times where I stressed myself out so much where I was like, I don't even want to go out with this person anymore because I was stressing out so much on what to plan, you know, just press them. And so I've stressed myself out to the point where I was like, I don't even want to go out with this person because they're just giving me anxiety, you know, but it was more so on me, put that pressure on myself. So you can keep it very simple and plan a coffee date or a lunch date or a dinner date or drinks. But the best first dates is one where you can have some kind of experience. So going on a beach walk, if you're near the beach, right? You could really leverage that. A beach walk is always nice. And most women do enjoy the beach. So you can go on a beach walk and that can turn into tea, ice cream, drinks. That can turn into a number of things because you're walking by restaurants or whatever it may be, or you can, if you're far from restaurants, you can go to one afterwards. Mm-hmm. So a good first date is a walk on the beach. If you don't live near a beach or a lake, you can do a park, a nice walk in the park. You know, those are good first dates.
Yeah.
Definitely like sit down happy hours. You know, you don't want to spend too much money on a first date. I've spent tons of money on first dates before. So now I try to just do like drinks instead of like dinner and drinks. So try to just scale it back and see if we'd like each other. Then we can do more if we like. What are some other good first dates? I went on a hike one time, you know, me and the woman, another woman I had approached in person, not from a dating app. We went on a hike. That was super fun. And from that hike, we went to get brunch. And then from brunch, we went to a cat shelter to look at cats because we were talking about fostering cats. So it was just like, it went from one place to the other. It was just so much fun. I had such a great time on that date. And what are some other good ideas?
Just said a keyword there.
Yeah. You know, you can do FaceTime dates. FaceTime dates are great if you want to meet someone on FaceTime first, if it's from a dating app. Then you can do like a play. You know, if you want to go watch a play, that could be a good first date. If you guys talked about a play you wanted to see together, it's really about the conversation you're having, right? That can really set it up nicely. Like, oh yeah, let's go do that. Like we're talking about painting. You know, let's go paint on the first date. Why not? Let's go painting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some of the first dates I've had. Yeah. I've had first dates that were super unique and different, but then also a lot of good first dates that were just drinks or just a walk.
Yeah.
So, well.
I think you said a really key component and fun, because I'm really an advocate of just having a good time. Stop putting so much pressure on whether or not you guys are really going to connect and just go experience something with a new person and focus on the experience, right? Take the one thing I would say, play probably maybe not the first date, just because you're not really going to be able to talk to that person and get to know them a little bit, maybe like third, fourth date, but like, anything that's like get your energy and your endorphins up too, right? Maybe go-karts or pinball museum. I don't know. They're just go experience, go have a fun time. And you don't have to put like crazy limits. Like you said, doesn't have to be so stressful, right? Take a walk in the park and grab some ice cream. Love it, right? You're around people. You're side by side. Sometimes with dinner and with drinks, sometimes I'm just putting this out there. It can feel like an interview, or it can feel like really, really personal too fast. So I think anything where you can walk side by side or do something side by side is really a great idea. But I love those ideas. That's good. Yeah.
So here's my thing on like movie first date or play first dates. I feel you, like it's kind of become taboo to do those on first date. The reason I think they can be good is that you have an actual conversation about it, because Celeste, a lot of people struggle with connecting. So if you're able to do something right away that you connect on, you're going to have a lot to talk about. You can meet up beforehand and talk about it. Then you have it. And then you can hang out a little bit afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I think the cool thing about a play or a movie or something else, but once again, only if it's like it came up in conversation naturally when you're getting to know each other, it can really give you a lot to talk about on the very first date, you know, which a lot of people struggle with. A lot of people struggle with what questions to ask. A lot of people struggle with how do I have a conversation with her when we're sitting across from each other or whatever it may be. So it's a hack for guys not to feel like they're carrying the date. There was a first date I went on one time where a woman invited me to a Brian McKnight concert. It was so much fun. So much fun. You know, I had a great time. And I was like, yeah, I'm going on that date with you. You know, like, sure. It was a good time.
So for all you guys out there that don't know what to talk about, okay, you can hire me or... Or you can ask open-ended questions. Anything that's a yes or no answer shouldn't be asked, really. Don't talk about drama. Don't talk about children, even if you have them. Don't talk about all the crazy things. You want to get to know that person to see if you want to go on a second date, ultimately, right? But you want to do it in a way that doesn't feel like an interview, and it doesn't feel like you're like, I have no words. So one great question I'm just going to throw out one is like, and think about something that so with these questions, you kind of want to do an interview in a way that's not an interview. So traveling, very important to me. I've been to a lot of places in the world and I want to continue. So something I would ask is, what's some of the best places or most interesting places you've traveled to, and what were they and why were they interesting to you? So already she's like, okay, so oh my God, I've been to Italy and I did this and I did this and I want to do this. And so you just go from there. And I think maybe that's not one of your questions, but think of questions that, does that say that she's adventurous? Does that say she wants to travel? Does that say, you know, what are her views on that? And all of that, that one question, or technically that was three questions, you can get so much information about that person to see if that's going to be a good fit for you.
Exactly. And I've got some tricks for men who aren't good at first dates or asking good questions. So, and they're super easy. The first thing is you, a lot of people to less don't take the time to think about a date before a date. And to me, I see dates as like a celebration. Like us two people have agreed to take time out of what we could be doing otherwise to see each other. And so I like to think about, what conversations did we have leading up to this date?
Mm-hmm.
What do I like about her? What do I want to share about myself? You sit down and think about things. Then you can also look up online, what are some good first date questions? So you can have a pot of 10 questions in your head, five questions in your head already. Because sometimes there's that downtime where like you just have like a great 10-minute banter. And then you kind of have that, and then you're just kind of looking at each other. So if you have one of those questions in your head, you'd be like, so, you know, what is one of your favorite artists you've seen in concert? Mm-hmm. You know, just kind of have that ready in your head. Another thing that I do, those are two. Another thing that I do is using your surroundings to bring up questions, especially deeper topics. A kid that walks in front of us, like, oh my God, they're so cute. You know, is kids something that you want?
That's a great idea.
I love being a journalist because you just learn so many communication skills that have been so useful on dates. But like, it's so easy. Like a dog walks in front of you and she's like going crazy over a dog. Like, do you have any pets or do you want any pets or whatever? And that's going to create a whole 10-15 minute conversation. If you open up the kid's conversation, that's a tough one to bring up. But if you see a kid and you guys just had a conversation about a kid, it's an easy one to smooth into. So that's another. Yeah, there's so many great hacks men can use on a first date to let the conversation flow.
Yeah, I love those. Thank you for sharing. You do get to learn a lot as a journalist.
And I have a great trick for date two. I don't think it's a good date one trick. This is a great date two or date three trick. And it has always landed for me. 10 out of 10 times it's landed for me. Print up a list of this or that questions or would you rather questions and bring it on the date. I guarantee you that the woman is going to have a great time.
Yeah, that's a great idea. There's card games. You can just buy the cards and just bring the cards on the date with you and do 5 of them.
Boom. That's it.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah. Make it real short. Make it 30 minutes, whatever. Yeah.
I love that. And it's okay too. I know first and second date, you're really trying to get to know somebody, but it's okay to have a minute of silence too.
Right.
It is okay to just pause and see how you feel in each other's pause too. So just keep that in mind too. You don't have to and it's just like, this dude won't shut up. Oh,
right.
Another little, one.
That's a great point. If you're always trying to fill in the awkward side, I just posted a video about this on TikTok yesterday, literally yesterday, Celeste. If you don't allow awkward silences sometimes, you're not challenging the other person to ask you a question or the other person to challenge, just to keep the conversation going. Now, if they've been asking questions the whole time, speak up, you need to butt in. If someone's badgering you with questions, you need to butt in. But if the conversation's flowing and you're done asking questions for a little while, just let there be that awkward silence, like you said, and see how you feel and let them bring up something.
Yeah, completely. I mean, those were all so beautiful, those nuggets. I think everyone here can listen and learn so much from you. And I love that you've had so many. I mean, I'm still practicing, right? I'm still dating and learning to put myself in. And I'm a dating coach. So we can all learn and listen and if we just continue to be better people, right?
Exactly.
Hopefully it's all going to work out. Okay. So one last question. What was one of your favorite dates and what was it?
What was one of my favorite dates and what was it? Recently, and when I mean recently, this past weekend, actually, there's this woman I've been recently seeing, and it was my birthday last week. And so as a birthday present, she bought us a pottery class, and it was so much fun. It was so much fun. I made a joke about, you know, that movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze behind it. Demi Moore, I believe it was. And he's like, you know, doing the pottery with her. And I made a joke that I was going to do that with her. But yeah, we were side by side and we were learning to do pottery and both made bowls. It was so much fun. I had a great time. So, you know, I really appreciated her thinking about that, you know, choosing that idea and something that was different for both of us. So it was a learning experience for us both. And I had a fantastic time. We were making jokes. There was a lot of like sexual innuendo. So we were making a lot of sexual jokes. Yeah, it was just a great time. And then we went to get dinner afterwards. And yeah, it's easily one of the best dates I've ever been on. So
awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that one. Yeah, I just love to hear kind of what makes this special date. And I know my audience has asked me for date ideas. So when they hear other people's experiences, I think that helps them as well. So thank you for sharing that. Is there anything else you would like to share with the audience here? Anything that I have not covered? Or you're just wanting to have the space to talk?
Yeah, well, since you said your audience loves date ideas, you know, that's one is pottery. Another date I went on was paint and sip. That was one that I had planned. So, you know, we were painting and sipping wine. So that was really nice. A wine tasting is always a great date. You're trying different types of wines. We were talking about like questions like this or that questions, like you said, a card game. You know, there's different cards that help you open up to ask each other questions that you typically wouldn't. So I think that's like a good like fourth, fifth, sixth date type thing. There's a card game, We're Not Really Strangers. That game is great for really getting to know someone on a deeper level because it asks good questions that you might not think about yourself. Take turns. So that's a good personal date. You know, going on like a boat ride, you know, like a romantic boat ride is a good date idea. Yeah, going to like a day festival. When you're like walking around and doing different things, when there's an environment where things are changing, those are always fun dates. So like you're walking down the street, like a busy street of like shops and districts, like you can like find out so much about someone, the way they like to shop, the things they like to do, what excites them, you know? Mm-hmm. So like walking down like a busy street where there's shops and stuff, or, you know, like a little food festival or a little concert. There's so many different things. So those are just some date ideas.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And yeah, I'll leave all the information in the show notes so people can find you and check you out on all your socials. I'll put everything in there. So if you want to find out more information about Garen, you know, go check him out. But as we wrap up this fascinating conversation with Garen Flowers, I want to express my heartfelt thanks for sharing his insight and experiences and advice. And to you, our listeners, your support and engagement make this journey truly rewarding. So remember to follow and subscribe to the Down and Dirty podcast for more inspiring conversations. Until next time, keep exploring, stay curious, and thank you for tuning in today.
If you enjoyed today's episode and want to support podcasts like ours, then please hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating, and or invite others to listen. Your support is what helps us grow and continue to bring you valuable content. Thanks for hanging out with us on today's episode. Let's stay connected. You can find me on Instagram at Celeste Moore Image, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's discussion. For all the links, resources, and additional information mentioned in this episode, check out the show notes on my website, celestemoore.com. That's all for now, but stay tuned for our next episode where we'll dive into more exciting topics. Until then, see you next time, friends.